Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V, and with me as always on this program, world's famous juggler, Greg Larson. How you doing, Greg?
Man, after watching this movie, I am great. This is one of my favorite movies of all time, so I'm excited to talk about it. How about yourself, Ozzy?
Snoochie boochies.
Right.
Todd, how you doing, Flesh Wound producer?
There we go.
Todd holding up the Blu-ray.
I'm good. I actually watched Chasing Amy 2, since we're not going to cover it. Let's not get into that debate.
Yeah, we're not. That's for another time. If anybody in the comments would like to know why we're not reviewing Chasing Amy, you can go ahead and ask and we'll answer. But I don't think we're going to get those questions. So we'll just move on.
You know that, right?
Well, we'll see what happens. And then you could be like, well, Ozzy, how do you want to answer this one? And we'll see how it goes.
Ozzy doesn't consider it a comedy for some reason.
It's just, I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's just not fun to watch. It's more dramedy. And it's like, eh. Anyway, this week we reviewed the film Dogma, rated R, released on November 12th, 1999, with a runtime of 2 hours and 10 minutes, written and directed by Kevin Smith, starring Linda Fiorentino, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, among others. Todd, got the trailer ready?
I do.
Let's roll it.
That's why I had to come down here this morning, man. That's why I had to miss my cartoons. You call me, you tell me it's important.
We're going home.
Take it, man. Quit leering at me. People are going to think I just broke up with you.
Two fallen angels have just discovered a loophole that can get them back into heaven.
Outstanding work!
All they have to do is get to Red Bank, New Jersey. There's only one problem.
What are you? What do you want with me?
Stop a couple of angels from entering and thus negating all existence. I hate it when people need it spelled out for them.
Now,
I'm to charge you with a holy crusade.
One person has been chosen to stop them, but she won't have to do it alone.
I'm Jay. This is my head of life mate, Sam Bob.
You gotta be kidding me.
Prophets.
In a manner of speaking.
What about sex?
No sex.
Guys, I guess just don't fall the sky, you know?
Oh, that sucks!
What are you?
I was the 13th apostle.
You knew Christ?
No. Brother owed me 12 bucks. I thought she looked familiar.
Let me guess. The 14th apostle.
I'd like 2 tickets to New Jersey, please.
Jersey's sold out, sir. I suggest you not underestimate the staggering drawing power of the Garden State.
They're successful. You, me, all of this ends in a heartbeat. I feel like Han Solo, you're Chewie, and she's Ben Kenobi.
Prepare to taste God's wrath.
Anyone who isn't dead or from another plane of existence would do well to cover their ears right about now.
The whole world's against us, dude, I swear to God.
What's he like?
God? He's got a great sense of humor. Take sex, for example.
Sex is a joke in heaven.
The way I understand it is mostly a joke down here, too.
Get it?
Such a fantastic movie. Anyhow, this, again, released November 12th, 1999, runtime of 2 hours and 10 minutes, longer than a lot of the other movies we have reviewed, but it doesn't feel like it. This is definitely, just to go into our initial thoughts, it feels a lot more, there's a lot more going on. Like it's like a comedy fantasy, if you will. It's not just like, you know, like a Mallrats or a Clerks. It's more like,
right,
there's some depth to it.
It's a big movie compared to all of his other films.
Yeah, I'll be scope the one wise to say it as a huge Kevin Smith fan. This feels like a legit movie, like, not just some guy who's like, I want to get my friends together and have some fun. You know,
it still feels a little bit like that, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Todd, an initial thought, or
from the other show, most people know I am not a fan of religious stuff. Not my thing. So I do watch this as a fantasy film. So it works and I love it. It's like literally the one time I could say this is a religious film I do love. There's not any other.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, if there's never been somebody that I've been able to have a conversation with and Kevin Smith comes up and Dogma does not come up. It's like everybody's seen this movie.
Right.
You never have heard anybody say, Dogma, what's that? Which is...
The one problem now is
I haven't experienced
this
thing's that.
this and the DVD have been out of print and go for quite a bit of money. Right. It's not available. Really? It's not available on digital. It's still tied up with rights of Thou Who Shall Not Be Named, and until someone can get the rights from him.
Right. Yeah.
Am I allowed to say his name?
What's interesting is that, like, so at the very beginning of the movie, there is a definition of dogma and whatnot, and there's disclaimers. Or I'm sorry, there's definition of disclaimers and whatnot. And as watching the commentary, which I attempted to begin, but it's from previous shows that we've done, Kevin Smith commentaries, they're like hangout commentaries, and involves usually 5 to 6 people, which is hard to for me to sit through anyway. But at the very beginning, there was a lot of bleeping. And was it because of the individual who shall not
named? No, there was no issues with them then.
Well, then that's what I was confused about. I don't know why all the beeping was about.
They must have been saying Disney, because at this point, Disney owned Miramax. And they were starting to get some heat from the religious groups. So Disney allowed them to shop it, which is why Sony has it, or the Blu-ray and the DVD is Sony.
I see.
But it's owned by producer extraordinaire, who shan't be named. And so it's kind of stuck. Some of that stuff is coming out now, finally, but this one's the only one is solely owned by the company, like those two.
Interesting. Well, I was lucky enough to grab a DVD back in the day.
Yeah.
So, interesting story about that, and who owns it. Mr. Smith got a phone call shortly before some accusations and trials started coming around, and he was saying, hey, let's do something with this. Let's maybe talk about a sequel or maybe shifting over the rights, you know, and was like, I just want to know if you have my back and blah, 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 blah. And Kevin was so excited because he hadn't heard from him in a long time. And he was like, oh, this is great. And then come to find out, he was like, no, he was just shopping to see if I could have his back. Like, this sucks. None of that was true. So, yeah. Yeah. It's an unfortunate situation.
It is definitely throughout the movie. If anybody's unfamiliar, there's a lot of moments when they talk about the backstory of what happened. Oh, Loki was the angel of death, and you know he told God that he quit. It'd be interesting to see that, and these even same characters to see Bartleby and Loki back when they like first started discussing everything, and see Bartleby have Loki change his mind, whatnot. I doubt that's going to happen.
Matt Damon didn't he come back as Loki?
Yeah. The post credit scene on the reboot, right?
Yes. Yeah. And didn't.
Correct I thought me, that was more of like also, a joke, though.
But
it is. But it's so canon. Didn't he also do Loki in Thor or Avengers or something? Like when they were doing the play.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one in the play.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
No? Oh, well.
I'm not sure if I saw that.
I'll have to figure out which part it was. I'll send you a clip.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Indeed. Just going into, there's so many brilliant moments in this movie, and Greg being how this is one of your favorites of all time. Why don't you go ahead, kick us off in that category?
Oh God, why? I was hoping you'd narrow it down because okay, fine.
I'll go first. Or Todd, yes. Do you want to go first?
You know what? I think mine might get taken, so I'm just going to go with it first.
Go for it.
The Catholic Church does not make mistakes. All right, mistakes were made. And that's probably my whole religious thing. That's why it makes me laugh.
I have a note on that as well. But just jump into my favorite line real quick. There was, again, so many to choose from. I wanted to find one that hadn't made me laugh before, as hard as it made me did this time around, when it's, you had Bartleby and Loki arguing on the bus, and you had Bartleby saying, "This coming from the guy who owes me $10 from over that bet on which movie was going to be bigger, E.T. or Crush Groove." Hey, fuck you. Time's going to tell on that one. I died laughing for some reason. Like, that hit me so hard. I was in tears and had to watch it multiple times. But that was the one for me.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm going to do three different things because one of them's not even in the movie. First off, just the intro. The whole disclaimer with the platypus is freaking brilliant and sets the tone for the movie. Another thing was not in the movie, but was actually, there were protests happening for the movie where a bunch of people from the church were there, and the news came out to film it, and Kevin Smith was with the protesters and they interviewed him, and he was like, "Yeah, I just think that this movie's wrong," and it was so good. But then a thing that, like, I didn't really catch, and I don't 100% know that this is what was intended, but I'm pretty sure it was, when the last scion says, I don't want this, it's too big, and Alan Rickman says, "That's what Jesus said," and I was like, is that a "That's what she said" moment? Like, I don't want this, it's too big. I don't know if that was the intention, but I laughed too hard. And I just have to say, Alan Rickman, that guy is the man. And I am sure he loved doing this film, but this is,
he actually wanted to be, he wasn't initially cast in it. He wanted to be in the movie.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so the DVD that I got, unfortunately, you know, what probably downs the value on it, Todd, is that it came with a booklet inside that was like a little thing. And it had a little, like, a just backstory on it. And in it, it talked about how Alan Rickman called them up, and there's a specific, like, line in the thing I'm reading where it says, "We have Hans fucking Gruber on the phone." there's no possible way I could rate this anything lower than a 5. It was just too much fun, and it was just a lot of stuff going on that made you just wanting to keep watching the entire time. It didn't feel like over 2 hours, but it definitely was a great, great movie.
Yeah, this is a, if you can, buy it movie, and I'm not going to give it a 5. I'm going to give it a 37.
Well, there you go. I was thinking about this, Ozzy, though. Like, what line made me laugh, like, for the first time watching it this time? And there's one when, I know it's when they're sitting outside of movies eating, and, like, Jay's like kind of realizing, you know, he finds out that she's the last sign, and she's like, or he says, "So that makes Bethany half black." And I don't know why. But yeah, I'm a 5 also.
And I mentioned this earlier when you'd mentioned your favorite moment about the Catholics don't make mistakes. The beginning that features George Carlin just speaking to the press feels like one of his old stand-up bits.
Yeah.
Like, where he would pretend to be like that person that he'd be mocking. And when he was just speaking as the cardinal, it's just like, man, this really, really feel like, I'm curious. I unfortunately didn't make it that far in the commentary to see if they brought up whether or not they let Carlin kind of just do his own thing, because it really felt like it flowed like one of his bits. So something else I really appreciated. Also, I really appreciated, I got this as a gift a while ago. Greg, you might familiar with this. Chasing Dogma. It's a graphic novel that actually takes place moments right before Dogma. And it actually shows you how Jay and Silent Bob got there. And the story about how they explain about the John Hughes gimmick. Yeah, it's totally in there, right? Because you see Silent Bob holding a copy of The Breakfast Club. And I don't know if this came out before or after Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. But there's a particular scene where, Suzanne, the chimp, is running with them. She's fleed actually from her cage, not like from a lab like in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. But it has the same idea where you have the FBI marshal and then you have the federal wildlife agent that shows up. And it's the same exact thing that happens in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where they appear to dive, but really Chimp holds them, and then you have Will Ferrell fall down to the dam. So, again, I'm not sure what came out first, but it's still, if you're a fan,
I have a feeling the graphic novel did. It sounds like he decided to lift that for the movie.
Yeah, it sounds like a little bit, but highly recommend this if you can find out as well. So, Todd, you mentioned it's not available digital. It's not available on copy, so you can't even stream it.
You can't stream it.
Yeah. You can't buy it. Like, you can't buy it digitally.
No, but if you Google, it might be on the YouTube or something like that. You never
what?
Know. Things pop what are you up suggesting? And disappear. Yeah. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm suggesting you go out and buy the Blu-ray. Just try not to spend $100 on it.
Right. Yeah. eBay's rough, but sometimes you might find it at like those, you know, used DVD stores, Rasputin Musics, you know, kind of places.
But and now yeah, they all know to check eBay now too. That's the problem.
Anything could happen, because for those that are familiar with the Nintendo 64 game video game library, the WWF game No Mercy was seen as very sought after, and I just happened to find it at a flea market in a bin for $30. So anything can happen. Just look through those bins. You might have to, you know, deal with a full screen version.
You can get some right now. The non-special edition you get for $25, buy it now. You can get the Blu-ray for $65. It's starting to drop. This has to be a bootleg, because it's like $7.95. And it looks like a bootleg. Don't buy that version.
You know, one thing I do want to say that I noticed this time watching it. I don't want to like spoil anything on this, but a lot of the movie could have been like saved had the Catholic Church not gotten involved. So there's a news message that talks about protecting against euthanasia. And I noticed that this time around, I was like, oh, Catholic Church almost doomed all of existence. That's awesome. So
I think Kevin Smith grew up Catholic, raised Catholic.
He very and still is very much so. So he does feel like he wasn't trying to like make fun of the church. He was just saying like his beliefs of like what the church preaches versus what the church does might be a little different sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
I did want to bring up, because we talked about the Blu-ray, the DVD. There's a documentary that was supposed to be on this disc or these discs. And that was Dogma in Defense of Dogma. It was the title. And there's been different stories. One, it wasn't done in time to be put on the DVD special edition, that Sony didn't want it on there. So there's been weird, you know, different versions. Though if it was just that they didn't get it done in time, it should have been on the Blu-ray, because that came out at, like a couple years later. But they ended up putting it out on the Lionsgate release of, I forget which one directed it, but it is View Askew, of Vulgar. So that's the only place you can buy the documentary. like to see the documentary, which they wanted it out there, and that's how it's out there. So,
alrighty, well, that was Dogma, ladies and gentlemen. So, I did a quick search on Amazon. You can actually, as I was saying, you can find a used copy of it for $25. So, you're gonna want to buy it. It's gonna be one of those movies you're like, wow, I should have bought it. If you were to end up renting it or one of these things, or doing something that nefarious that Flash Moon producer Todd would do, I would never do. So there's that. And ladies and gentlemen, anything, any final thoughts on Dogma before we head out for the week?
No, just this is a brilliant movie, one of his best. And if you haven't seen it, why not?
Can you do a proper sign off, Ozzy?
I was, but before I do that, I did notice the one thing I was going to bring up about this Chasing Dogma and the scene with the, you actually had the federal agent and then you had the federal wildlife marshal in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Do you guys remember who was casted as the actual federal agent who first goes after Jay and Silent Bob?
In the movie or
in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Was it Judd Nelson?
It was Judd Nelson.
Okay.
And then in The Breakfast Club, who do they say who was the one guy who wasn't lame in Shermer, Illinois?
Judd Nelson.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So there you go. That's what I wanted to bring up, but I couldn't remember. Anyhow, so that was Dogma. We'll be back next week with a new episode. For world famous juggler Greg Larson and Flesh Wound producer Todd, I'm Ozzy V, and we'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.
Good night, Grant Hicks.
Draw!